Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. I'm your host, Thomas. Thanks so much for tuning in tonight. The way this podcast works couldn't be more simple. Just pick an episode, press play, and get comfortable in bed. I'll guide you through a short relaxation, and then I or one of my friends will read you a bedtime story that's designed to gently grasp your attention and help you drift gently off to sleep. The more you tune in, the more effective the podcast will be at putting you to sleep. So please do subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcasts. I really do hope you're enjoying Get Sleepy and all of our stories. And for those of you who are new to the podcast, don't forget that we have plenty of episodes for you to go back and listen to. There's no need to listen in any specific order, as each episode is its own story. And I'm confident you'll enjoy every single one of them. We do, of course, love to hear from you wonderful listeners, and as always, you can reach out to us at getsleepy.com. But social media is also a great way to touch base with us here at Get Sleepy. You can keep up with all the latest episode releases, news about the show, and even vote on upcoming episodes. So when you wake up tomorrow, be sure to check out Get Sleepy on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Tonight's story will be read by TK Kelman as we take a relaxing, day-long train ride up the majestic California coast. But first, let's take a moment to let our mind and bodies settle down and invite peace and calm within. Take a few deep breaths to just regulate your body into a slower pace. And as you do, you may notice your muscles feeling heavier and sinking into the bed. Just take a moment to appreciate that feeling. You may be struggling with worries and thoughts playing on your mind, perhaps even a sense of anxiety towards things. And with everything that's going on in the world right now, this global issue that we're all dealing with, it's easy to feel this way, and I myself have found it particularly tough to drift off lately and to let go of those more disruptive thoughts. But as you listen to my voice, remind yourself to be present. You are living in this very moment, the here and now. And that's all we're ever doing, is living in the present moment. Fear and anxiety tend to be created by projections we manifest in our minds. Concerns about what might happen. But the truth is, if you are present, you'll usually find that there is nothing to fear. Think about that for a moment, as you lay peacefully in bed. Is there really anything to worry about, right here and right now? You're safe, you're comfortable, and you can be at peace with yourself. There's no need to worry about what's gone, or what's to come. In this moment, you're just fine. So let yourself rest and drift into a nice, deep sleep. Meanwhile, I'll turn to TK for tonight's story. As you relax, let your mind drift to a warm spring day in Southern California. Feel the sun on your cheeks and a light breeze in your hair. With the breeze comes the pleasant, briny smell of the ocean, the sound of seagulls calling overhead signals that you're near the coast.
You're standing on clean, white pavement. To your left is a row of palm trees. Their deep green fronds rustle together in the gentle wind. The sunlight reflects off the fronds, tracing silver outlines along their ragged edges. The lanky shadows of the palm trees dance all around your own. You follow their rhythmic motions with your gaze. A gust of wind makes one shadow sway, leading your gaze toward a set of train tracks a few feet away. Behind you is a white Spanish-style building. Its facade is marked by elegant arches that lead to a bell tower perched atop the roof. Atop the bell tower is a tiled dome. The tiles are green and yellow and shine as the light hits them. Above the arches, a sign bears the words "Train Station" in fanciful wooden lettering. It's the main station in San Diego, the southernmost city in California. And this is where your journey begins. Off in the distance, you hear the faint call of a train whistle. The rhythmic sound of its wheels on the track slowly fades into perception as it rounds a corner and comes into view. The chug of the engine grows louder, but slower. The nose of the train is painted robin's egg blue against a brilliant silver background, which is polished to a shine. One car passes you, then two, then three, as it creaks to a halt. In front of you now is one of the sleeper cars. You can see a perfect reflection of the station and its tiled roof in the shiny exterior. As the engine releases a whoosh of relief, the doors open in unison. The conductor steps down onto the platform. She blows a golden whistle. Signals everyone aboard. You are traveling light, so you don't have a suitcase to carry up the stairs, just a backpack, filled with everything you need for this journey north. You hold on to a small handrail and climb onto the train. With another blow of the conductor's whistle, the door closes behind you. From your back pocket, you pull out an envelope. Inside is a long, rectangular paper ticket. You scan it at a machine in the entryway and head down the aisle, looking for your cabin number. You'll be on this train for at least one night, so you decided to get a cabin in the sleeper car. It will be much more comfortable than sleeping in one of the regular seats. Besides, you've always loved falling asleep on trains. There's just something about the rhythmic rocking that soothes you. It makes a deep and restful slumber almost unstoppable. Scanning along the aisle, you spot it. A few doors down on your left is your cabin. Somehow you manage to board the closest entrance on the exact car. Well, this is off to a good start, you think. The door opens with a click of the handle, revealing a cozy and welcoming cabin. A long bed stretches from door to window. On the right is a little sink with storage above for small items. You take off your backpack and set it beside the foot of the bed. The crisp white sheets and neatly tucked blanket on the bed are inviting. And there's a bonus. An ornately wrapped chocolate sits atop your fluffy pillow. You reach out and brush your fingertips along the bed. You can't wait to snuggle in later when it's time for bed. You're almost tempted to lie down for a quick nap right now, but you don't want to miss the train pulling out of the station. For now, you close the door gently behind you and head for the observation car. This is where you'll find the best views during your trip. While the other cars have standard rectangular windows above the seats, the observation car has giant floor-to-ceiling windows. They even curve with the top of the train, offering a view of the sky. Here, there are plush blue seats that swivel on their bases, allowing you to turn left and right to follow the scenery passing by. The seats are shaped like giant scallop shells, wide and plump. You find an open seat near the middle of the car, just in time to watch your journey begin. The train lurches slightly as it starts to move, chugging slowly as it passes through the station. Behind the station, you see the skyline of San Diego. Tall modern buildings intermingle with older style architecture downtown. Beyond the hustle and bustle of the city center, out past the cars and the townhouses and the palm trees is the beach. And beyond the beach is the Pacific Ocean, shining a bright cerulean blue under the early morning sun. The train picks up speed as it leaves San Diego. It veers closer to the coast. The ocean drifts past, rippling calm and tranquil. A little way out, you see a small white sailboat. The breeze must be just strong enough to keep its sails unfurled, you think. It's not moving too quickly. You imagine what it would be like to be aboard that sailboat with its cream-colored seats and polished wooden deck. It must be peaceful out there, gliding atop the glassy surface of the water, hearing the sails flap gently in the wind. Someday, you'd like to take a sailboat trip like your train trip now. You could follow the wind wherever it takes you, to shores near and far. But that adventure is for another day. Your gaze returns to the shore as you travel past the town of Oceanside. The beaches here are wide and long. Their light brown sand is fine and soft. You see morning beachgoers walking lazily along the shoreline. A couple stops to look at a small shell they find poking out of the sand. A woman walks her dog in the surf. A man reads a book under the shade of a red and yellow umbrella. You find your eyes closing as the beaches and palm trees pass. You got up early this morning, and now the rocking of the train is lulling you to sleep. You let your eyes close for just a moment. What's the harm in a quick nap, you think? Isn't that what train rides are for? You don't have to drive. You don't have to pay attention. You just step onto the train and let it take you exactly where you need to go. When you open your eyes, you realize an hour's gone by, at least. Maybe two. It's no matter, though. There's plenty of time to explore. You stretch your arms and let out a yawn as you stand. Out the window, beaches are beginning to give way to suburbs, filled with little square houses and trees with rounded tops. A lattice of streets forms a grid pattern. Some streets end in cul-de-sacs where children ride their bicycles round and round. Through the mist resting over the ocean, you can just trace the jagged outline of Catalina Island. Looking out the other side, you see the hazy outline of Los Angeles off in the distance. It's the largest city you'll pass on this trip. The buildings here are gray, tall, and highly clustered together in several different areas, the largest being the financial district. The Hollywood Hills stand proudly in the background. They're mostly green right now, but will turn an arid brown once the dry summer heat arrives. This is a busy city, one of commerce and industry, of movies, arts, and culture. You'll return to the observation car later, but now you want to see the rest of what this train has to offer. You walk down the hall and past the sleeper cabins. The next car has navy blue seats with little red headrests on top. There are a few passengers here, relaxing as views of Los Angeles fill the windows. One man drinks a small cup of coffee as he skims the morning newspaper. One woman naps, her head resting lightly on a pillow up against the window. After passing through this car and the next, you come to the dining car. Here, little square tables are flanked by compact booths. Each table bears a light blue tablecloth. Places are set for guests to come and have a meal or sip a warm drink while they enjoy the scenery. Behind a counter, a waiter takes orders and hands out steaming cups of coffee, tea, and cocoa. Why not stop and sit a while? It is lunchtime, after all. Off the menu, you pick a selection of small tea sandwiches and some lemonade to drink. You enjoy it leisurely, watching the city fade away and the ocean return as you head north toward the Central Coast. You pass small clusters of houses here and there. The train carries you past Ventura, with its boxy white condominiums that dot the hillsides. North of Ventura, you fly past the town of Carpinteria and the quaintly named community of Summerland, marked by a thin line of houses painted in pastel pinks, blues, and greens. Here, the train must turn left, then right, then left again, following the jagged outline of the coast. In some places, the tracks are just feet from the lapping ocean waves. A small sliver of beach is the only barrier. At other times, the train climbs gently away from the water as the tracks follow the contours of the coastal hills. While it rises, you look down on the deep blue ocean, spreading out all the way to the horizon. Along this portion of the coast, the water sparkles a bright sapphire. Sunlight glimmers across the surface like diamonds. As you approach Santa Barbara, you see a picturesque community laid out along the coastal range. Spanish architecture is king here, with lightly textured walls and earthy red tiled roofs stretching from shore to hill. On the central coast, palm trees give way to smaller, pricklier trees with deep green leaves and dark brown bark. These clusters of shorter trees are broken up in places by stands of tall eucalyptus. A window at the far end of the car is open just a crack, allowing the fresh scent of eucalyptus in the breeze to fill the train. Through the window, you notice a thin ribbon of walkway that follows the beach for miles. It's the coastal path. Dozens of people ride bikes along it, walk their dogs, or go for a run. It seems like a perfect place to spend an afternoon gliding along the golden shoreline without a care in the world. Near the end of town, fewer people walk along the beach. North of the very last house, the sand gives way to rocks. The waves are stronger here, and they crest against the rock faces, sending a white spray splashing up toward the sky. You finish your lunch and thank the waiter, then head back to your cabin. Inside, you unzip your backpack and pull out a small, glossy guidebook. It's a guide to the California coast. You flip through the crisp pages filled with illustrations and landmarks until you get to the section for the Central Coast. You're heading into hill country, you read. Here, you'll pass through the college town of San Luis Obispo and ride through rolling green hills dotted with California live oaks. You peek out the window of your cabin. Indeed, the train is climbing into the hills. In the summer and fall, the dry grasses on these hills shine the color of wheat. In winter, rains dampen the soil and allow new grass to grow. Spring is a beautiful time in these hills, perhaps the best time for an adventure like this. Lush, thick grass and butter-yellow wildflowers bring the rolling hills to life. The live oaks are even more majestic in person than you imagined. The branches spread wide and strong from a thick trunk. Satin green leaves sprout from the tips, making a broad and luscious canopy. You'd like to sit beneath one with your favorite book and turn page after page in the shade of the tree. For now, though, you read on in your guidebook. North of San Luis Obispo, the train turns inland from the coast. Here, you ride through miles and miles of flat farmland. You see rows upon rows of almond trees, followed by tangled vineyards and lines of leafy green crops. This is California's agricultural region, a vast portion in the middle of the state is in a low area called the Central Valley. Millions of years ago, this area used to be filled with water. The shifting of tectonic plates slowly caused it to empty, leaving behind nutrient-rich soil prime for agriculture. You open your window slightly and take in the smell of freshly watered greens warmed by the sun. Much of the country's produce is grown here. As you approach the town of Gilroy, you smell the sweet, fresh scent of garlic sweeping through the window. Gilroy has long been known as the garlic capital of the United States. Out the window, you see small wooden stalls selling strawberries, tomatoes, avocados, and cherries by the basket. Hanging from the roofs of these stalls are elegant ropes of braided garlic, some short and tightly clustered, others many feet long. You'd like to buy one of these garlic ropes and take it home. You'd find recipes for garlic pasta, garlic bread, garlic butter, and more. It's too bad the train won't stop here. But at least the next time you crack open a clove and smell the earthy scent, you'll remember riding through Gilroy, the garlic capital. As the town fades into the distance, you follow your route in the guidebook. You're heading toward San Jose and the towns of Silicon Valley, the tech capital of the world. Farmland slowly fades into suburbs once again. And another large metropolitan area comes into view off in the distance. It's the biggest you've seen since Los Angeles. This would be an interesting spot to visit, but for now, your compass points north. It's the places ahead that capture your imagination. Beyond the sprawling San Francisco Bay Area, the train heads back toward the coast, rejoining the water as the trees grow bigger. Here, the greens are deeper and darker than they were further south. Before long, you find yourself tracing the jagged cliffs of Redwood Country. Below you, rocky ledges jut out in uneven lines toward the sea. The sea here is less blue than gray, with white caps forming in the distance. The redwoods are aptly named, you think. Their bark looks thick and soft. In places where it's peeled back, you see a fibrous underlayer with vibrant clay-red coloring. These trees are impossibly tall. You need to get a better view. You leave your room and head back to the observation car. Here, you look out the large, curved windows. Some of the trees are so tall that even from a distance, you have to look through the windows on the ceiling to see their tops. They must be very old to have grown so big and strong, you think. Past the redwoods, you look out toward the water one last time. It's sunset now, and rays of yellow, orange, and deep ruby red shine across the ocean. The last daylight fades as the train turns away from the coast, heading inland to the mountains. Night falls, and the moon comes out. Lights begin to flicker on throughout the train. Some passengers turn on little handheld reading lights. Others welcome the darkness, knowing it will bring sleep at the end of a long day. You linger in the observation car just a little longer. The scenery rushes past in dark grays and midnight blues. Shadows dance across the windows of the train. Being far from the city lights, the sky above is filled with stars. Off in the distance, you see a large form start to take shape. As you get closer, you realize it's a mountain. This must be Mount Shasta. You learned from your guidebook that it's the second highest mountain in the Cascade Mountain Range. Its sharp peak glistens with a dusting of snow, which twinkles a pearly white beneath the stars. You feel a yawn coming on. It sends a pleasant and familiar tingle down your spine. It's time for bed. You walk back to your cabin and close the door behind you with a click. After a change of clothes and your usual bedtime routine, you climb into bed and pull the crisp sheets around you. You let your head sink down into the pillow. As you feel your eyes begin to close, you take one final glimpse out the window. You have a perfect view of Mount Shasta. What a beautiful and tranquil sight. This snow-capped mountain glimmering in the moonlight. It slowly drifts across your window as the ever-present chug of the train rocks you gently back and forth. But you can't hold the weight of your eyelids anymore. So you let go of the view, content to keep it in your mind's eye. And with that vision in your mind, you fall deeply and peacefully asleep.